Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. Welcome in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. Joy, hope, and peace to each one of you. Especially as we get closer to the celebration of Jesus' birth and the real meaning of Christmas and why we take time to focus on Jesus' humble beginning that brought us such a gigantic impact to our lives. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope." And we can have hope by trusting in the Lord in each situation that we face, especially when it's not looking good or even have tragic ends. We can still have hope. Our hope is secure. Our hope is in Jesus. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy that you show us. You have given us your best from the very beginning. Help us to give our all to you. Help us to worship you, move in our hearts, and bring us closer to you. Speak to our hearts, open our eyes so that we can see you at work, so we can join in what you are doing. Just open our eyes to see that. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the time was right, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. God was in no hurry. All of heaven must have anticipated the incarnation and the remarkable unfolding of the redemption plan. But God would not rush it. For centuries, millennia, long eras of frustration and futility, the world carried on in the pain of its brokenness, assuming the disorder was normal, but longing for something more. Paul wrote that all creation groaned in increasing intensity, as if it were in the pains of childbirth. For a revelation of who God really is, but few people would have identified those pains for what they were. The human heart grows accustomed to the dull ache of a long wait. In retrospect, God is a master of timing. In the moment, he seems to take an excruciating long time to work out his plan or to fulfill a promise. We wait and wait and assure ourselves that he is never late, though sometimes he is, at least by the measure of our timeline. But looking back after the fact, his timing usually makes sense. He knows how to build up to a moment and deliver when conditions are right. He is a masterful orchestrator of the divine plan. So God sent Jesus when the right time came, or as some translations say, in the fullness of time, capturing the image of a pregnant anticipation. After centuries of prophetic hints and in the midst of one nation's political and religious angst, some people doubted a deliverer would ever come. Others searched the scriptures and speculated about God's plan for his people. But even in a season of expectation, hardly anyone recognized him as the one until he surprised them with his wisdom, power, and love. The crossroads of Jewish, Greek, and Roman cultures make the timing of Jesus' birth just right. In any other era, his ministry and the subsequent Christian movement would not have had the same influence. But God, in his impeccable wisdom, establishes seasons, not only in an ancient empire, but in your life too. Why hasn't he done what you asked? Why does he seem to be slow about his promises? Why hasn't his plans for you unfolded as you hoped? Because the timing is not yet right. When it is, in the fullness of the moment, he will move, and it will be very much worth the wait. I invite you to stand and join as we sing this morning and anticipate the birth of Christ. And we'll be the children may come forward for my coins count, and the ushers can come forward with this at this time too for our offering gifts.
Come, never expect. God, we come before you as your people, and we thank you that you are not a God that dwells in buildings made of bricks and stones, but that you came to live in our hearts and in the hearts of the lost and hurting around us. Father, we thank you that you are here to live in us when we acknowledge you as Lord and Savior and confess our belief in you and confess our sins. We thank you that you sent Jesus to make a way and to pay that penalty that we cannot pay. And as we're here in this building, we ask that you would use these funds to help us care well for it. And while we have many fond memories and things that we treasure, help us to remember that it is simply a building and that what you do here is meant to carry out into the world around us. Help us to do that faithfully today and this week and throughout every day of life and breath that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
have life forever in you, when we believe in you. And Lord, I just pray that you would be near Tony this morning as he brings us your word. Just pray that you make him bold in his truth claims about you today. Help us to be open and to receive them and to challenge us in our walk with you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. You guys can sit over here on this side this morning. Over here. This side. Over this way. Hi. What?
3 days is my birthday.
3 days, it's your birthday. That's awesome.
What? It's not my birthday.
It's not your birthday? All right, why don't you guys have a seat? So, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good? Well, that's awesome. So, I have some questions for you. What is your favorite color?
Green.
Blue, green?
Gold.
Gold? Wee. Green. What's your favorite color? You don't know?
Mine now.
Yeah, what's yours?
Golden.
Golden color? Wow. What's your favorite color, Ella?
My favorite color is blue.
Blue.
Green.
Green.
And yellow.
Yellow. My favorite is green. So, what's your favorite activity? What do you guys like to do? What's something that you like to do?
Gaga.
Playing Gaga. Yeah, that can be fun. That can hurt your hand. Video games. Swimming. What else do you guys like to do? Swimming's a very, right? It's really cold outside. You want to go swimming right now?
No.
No, it's too cold for that?
That's why I'm normally into Gaga in the winter.
Okay. You like winter sports in the winter. And well, I like a whole list of things. I like working with my hands and doing different things. What's your favorite food?
Mac and cheese.
Pizza, mac and cheese.
Pizza.
We got a lot of pizza this morning. What's your favorite? Ramen noodles.
Mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks, yeah. Well, I don't think I could pick a favorite. I mean, I like all kinds of things. Maybe in each category of food, I could probably pick a favorite. What's your favorite thing to drink?
Juice.
Soda. Kool-Aid. What's your favorite thing to drink? Yeah. A milkshake? Yeah. Well, you drink it, so I guess it counts as a drink. What's your favorite thing to drink?
Soda.
Soda? Yeah. I like iced tea. That's probably my favorite. So each one of us is different, right? God made us different. The things that we like is different. If we all liked the same thing all the time, it'd be awful boring, wouldn't it? Everything would be all the same color. All the food would be one thing, and it would get really boring, right? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God made us in his image, yet we all like different things and we're all different, and God has made us each unique. So our story from the Bible this morning is going to be from 1 Samuel. And we're going to pick up the story right after Saul was rejected by God because he did not do what God told him to do. Saul was king over Israel, and he did not follow what God had told him to do. God tells Samuel to go to Jesse of Bethlehem, and he's going to show him a new king. And Samuel was afraid that the king would come and kill him because he was going to go anoint a new king. So God told him to take a calf and go to Jesse of Bethlehem and sacrifice with him and his family. Samuel was afraid, but he did what God told him to do. And when he got there, Samuel had looked at Jesse's oldest son and thought, man, this has got to be the guy who is going to be king. He's strong, he's really big, he's older, he's mature. This has got to be the guy. But God had other plans. So Samuel had all of Jesse's sons walk in front of him, and each time he's like, nope, that's not the guy. Do you have any more sons? And Jesse's like, yeah, I have one more. He's out in the field tending sheep, and that is David. So they had to go and get him and bring him back because they were not going to eat. Until he got there and celebrate the sacrifice that they had made. So they brought David, and Samuel anointed him as the new king. Do you know why God picked David over the older brother and all the other brothers? It's because God looks at what's in our heart. He looks at the inside. We look at the outside, and we can see someone who is strong and maybe a good leader, but God looks at our heart. He looks at what is on the inside. And there's one thing that even though we are all different and we like different things, that we all can do the same. Have Jesus in our hearts as our Lord and our Savior, and we can praise and worship Him, even though that might be different for each person, how they like to praise and worship God, but we can all do that the same. And we can know that even when we're afraid, just like Samuel was, God will be there to go along with us and help us in our journey when we do what He wants us to do. So this morning, we need to light 3 candles. So who would like to light a candle that didn't light one already? Let's go Ella and Logan. Logan, did I get it right? I got it right. And you're on the end here. You can come up here and light a candle. What is your name?
Antonio.
Antonio. Well, welcome. Let's see. This one is easier to light. Light this one. You can light this one. And then Antonio will light one. You might have to use 2 hands to squeeze that because it's very difficult. If you can't get it, maybe Ella can help. So, while they're doing that, Ella can help. If it doesn't, maybe I'll have to do it. All right, you guys can sit down. I guess I'll be lighting the candles. I tried. I guess I'll have to bring a blowtorch next time. Cullen's not allowed to help with that. Right, Cullen? You're not, after yesterday, no, you're not allowed to help with that. That's just another story for another day. So, Sandy Weber has a coworker that made a gift for each one of the children here today. And there's different colors in here, and you can pick one out, and you can have a snack, which is over there, after I pray for you. So, I'm going to pray for you guys. Close your eyes, sit down, and let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you that we can worship you and just bless these children this morning. I pray that you'll speak to each one of their hearts and that you will draw them closer to you and that you will just work in their lives in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it'll be easier just to do this. So, pick one. And then you may have a snack. You can actually have 2 out of that snack container and then you can head back to your seats. Well, good morning again, and just want to greet you again. This is our last Sunday in Advent before we celebrate Jesus. Advent continues, but we are celebrating Jesus next Sunday. Teresa and I would like to thank you for your cards, your gifts, your words of encouragement, your prayers. They are appreciated very much. And I just want to tell you, I have a cold, so I will not be shaking people's hands, so please don't get offended if I don't shake your hand this morning. I'm trying to keep my distance a little bit from people, so just wanted to let you know that. Our message this morning is titled, Do Not Be Afraid. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision and saw God seated on his throne and in the throne room of heaven. And God was saying, Who will go to my people Israel? And Isaiah says, Here I am, send me, in this vision. So Isaiah goes and prophesies to his people, and he is a prophet of the Lord. And in chapter 7 of Isaiah, King Ahaz, who was not a good king, was king over Judah. He was filled with fear because the armies of Aram had occupied Ephraim. And so we're going to pick up our story in Isaiah 7, 1-6. This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Aram's king Rezin, and Israel's king Pekah, son of Remaliah, went to fight against Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. When it became known to the house of David that Aram had occupied Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled like trees in the forest, shaking in the wind. That's a good verbal description of how scared they actually were. The Lord said to Isaiah, Go out with your son Sher-Jesub to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road of the launderer's field. Say to him, Calm down and be quiet. Do not be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. For Aram along with Ephraim the son of Remaliah has plotted harm against you. They said, let us go up against Judah, terrorize it, conquer it for ourselves. Then we can install Tabal's son as king. And if you keep reading, which I invite you to do at another time, God says it will not happen. It will not take place. You will not be conquered by these kings. And God sends Isaiah and his son to Ahaz and tells Ahaz that he does not need to be afraid. God tells the king to ask him for a sign, as if you continue to read, a sign to prove what God is saying will happen exactly how God says it will happen. And that sign that he gives us to show his faithfulness is Isaiah 7, 1-14. There the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. He uses the name Emmanuel, God with us. So God in his goodness and his wisdom came to his people and the world to save us and give us a way to be with him forever because he wants us to be with him. Just think about that for a minute. God wants us to be with him. I just can't understand that God would want me to be with him. God was and is bringing healing and restoration to his people and all the world. The fear that Ahaz was feeling when Isaiah told him, Do not be afraid, here is a sign from God that all these things are not going to happen, that should have disappeared. It should have vanished at that moment. And for the rest of his life, Ahaz should have known that even if his kingdom falls and fails, that God himself would fulfill every word that he says. And we can take God at his word, and that anything that comes our way and fills us with fear, we can hold on to God, because God does what he says he is going to do. God delivers on his promises in his word. And God tells us that he would go before us in his might and his strength and conquer the enemy. And he did that through Jesus' death on the cross. The enemy has been conquered. And there is none that can stand against God. And we can be free from the fear that holds us down from being the person God has called us to be. And we get all of this from a couple verses. That's not even digging in depth into God's word. That's just a couple verses that God says he will do what he says he will do. And I encourage you to think about these things as we draw closer to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. Focus on what it actually means to celebrate Christmas. Yes, being with family is important, and we enjoy giving gifts because of the gift that Jesus, that God has given us in Jesus. But do we do it because it's the season to do it, or we do it because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus? So we're going to look at the time when Mary and Joseph find out what God's plan for them is. In Luke 1, John the Baptist's birth is predicted. The angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and is told that he will have a son, and that he will go in power and spirit of Elijah and bring many people's hearts back to God, preparing the people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this leads us into Luke 1:26-38. This is just after Zechariah is told that he will have a son. And this is the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, predicting the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. It uses the term engaged here, but it should be betrothed. There is a difference, and I'll explain that later. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have had no relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. The angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, comes to this young woman who is betrothed. And when you're betrothed, it's like engagement, but a step farther. Because engagement and betrothal are both a time of preparation for the man and woman to prepare for marriage. To break an engagement, you can break it off without a problem. Well, I shouldn't say without a problem. There probably will be problems involved, but it's a lot easier than breaking off a betrothal where you were legally married. But yet you weren't married because marriage is one step farther. And you actually have to divorce the person when you're betrothed. And we can see with Zechariah and Mary, they have the same reaction, because in both instances, the people who saw the angel of the Lord, they were filled with fear. And Gabriel told them, "Do not be afraid." So even though Mary can't comprehend all the things that the angel has just told her and all the things that were going on and the consequences that she will face in the future, Mary says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." I just can't imagine what Mary must have been thinking and feeling. And in that same message by Gabriel, he tells Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant, someone that was unable to have a child who was in her old age. And having a child was beyond her comprehension. Mary then goes to be with Elizabeth. As Mary enters Elizabeth's house, Mary is given a confirmation of what the angel told her. God in his wisdom knew that Mary needed this encouragement. So now we're going to shift to Joseph's story, and then we'll come back and mesh them all together. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother, Mary, had been engaged or betrothed to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and was not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus." Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. Thinking that Mary had broken her vow of betrothal to him, he was going to divorce her quietly. Joseph was thinking about this, and an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel tells him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because God is at work. Mary was not unfaithful to you. You have not been betrayed. She is being faithful to what God is telling her to do, and not man." So now we're going to go back to Mary. As Mary was with Elizabeth, she needed this encouragement because she would be pregnant and not married. This meant that if Joseph accepted her, they would be seen as a couple that sinned because they came together before they were married. Yet there's also another possibility that Joseph would not accept her and divorce her. Divorce her because he believed she was unfaithful to him by being with another man. Mary would be a disgrace to her family and herself. She would be ostracized from the community around her. And all these things must have been swirling around in Mary's heart and mind. I could see how this would be very overwhelming, and encouragement would be needed. And Elizabeth, as Mary enters the door, just overflows with encouragement because God was speaking through her. Then eventually, Mary would receive encouragement through Joseph because he accepted her as his wife. And there's some speculations as to how Joseph actually found out that Mary was pregnant. One of the speculations was that Mary actually told him that, hey, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. Sure you are. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or maybe Joseph found out from a family member when Mary was visiting Elizabeth. It doesn't say in Scripture. But you can see that Joseph cared about Mary, or he would not have decided to divorce her quietly. He could have made an example of her in front of everyone. But what a relief that it must have been when God told Joseph that this is from God and this is not from man. I just can imagine the pain and the turmoil that Joseph would have been wrestling with in this time between deciding to divorce her and the angel of the Lord coming. God is using a miraculous way to show us that the Messiah was coming to save his people, and that he was going to use Joseph and Mary as part of his plans. And so when Joseph married Mary, Jesus was born into the line of David, fulfilling prophecy. The Messiah would come from the line of David. The angel greeted him, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." So we're being shown his lineage. He is from the line of David. See, Joseph would have also been putting his reputation on the line by taking Mary as his wife, because it'd be admitting that they were together before they should have been. There would have been a lot of cultural and social things that could have happened to them, and they could have been afraid of. But God in his power and his wisdom was there watching over them through their journey. And this is an amazing account of how God fulfilled his promises to his people and to everyone in the world by the way that he gave us Jesus in this humble way. And this impacts us in the same way. We do not have to be afraid of the things of this world. As we can see, God is faithful in everything that he does. Every step of our journey, God is watching over us, caring for us. He tells each one of us who has accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord that we do have to go back to where we came from. Sharing the message of Jesus to the world around us. Yes, we're to be set apart because we have Christ in us. We're supposed to live lives that are holy because God is holy. But this doesn't mean that we're supposed to be secluded and separate from everybody. We're supposed to live lives that reach out to people and touch people's hearts and lives because we have Christ in our hearts. John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have sufferings in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." Jesus is telling us that we're going to face trials, but that we can have peace and live without fear because he is there walking through them with us. Just like Mary and Joseph, God had walked along with them, taking care of them and surrounding them with his peace. The birth of Jesus is an amazing example to us. We can have a peace from God that is going ahead of us. And at the same time, God is right there with us. It's hard to understand that he's working ahead of us. He's walking alongside of us at the same time, but God is there, helping us to face any situations that come our way. God is there to lead us and guide us. God is working. God was working. God is working, and he will continue to work all things for the good of those who love him. As Jesus' birth comes closer, look at the way that God has planned. He's planned the things down to such minute detail. And He is working His plan in us, in the world around us, through us, to the world. And we can know that He is doing the same thing in our lives each day. He is working in us and through us, showing that He is faithful in all things. So do not be afraid when life throws you a curveball. God is at work in all situations that we face. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You have been at work before time began. Since You made this world, You've been putting Your plans in motion. You have given us a Savior in Jesus so that we can come and be with You, because You want us to be with You. The birth of Jesus shows us You are faithful in everything that You do, that we can trust You, and we can know that You are working on and in us. We thank You for this. And when tests and trials come our way, we do not have to be afraid, because the Lord our God is with us, and You are walking with us, safely putting our feet on the straight paths, avoiding the pitfalls. And as we approach Jesus' birth, work in our hearts in a new way, revealing more of who You are. Our hope is in You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward for our closing song.
Thank you.
I just want to draw your attention to the note in our bulletin about our start time next Sunday. I encourage you to look at that. Receive this benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us. For God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and in love. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.